大家好，对不起，第一，我现在的腰不好，所以我站不住 ，OK， 我要坐下 ，OK。第二，我的中文不好，我在美国已经50多年了，所以我学的都忘了，在美国都是什么东西都是用英文来说，所以我今天要用英文讲，对不起。For those of you who don't know me, I'm Chester. 我中文的名字叫袁碧健。可是到美国来，我父亲说我们需要一个美国名字，所以我看电视上 Gunsmoke 有一个 Chester， 所以我就用这个 Chester 名字。我在美国已经55年了。我是在福建出生的。完了之后，从福建到台湾，在台湾差不多10年，就到美国来了。所以我1961年就到美国了，很久了。OK， 我想只有一两位，在来美国以前，我在到美国之后才已经出生了吧，大家都是在1961以后吧。Yeah. OK. I'm sorry, I'm going to start speaking English now. Because you have just about heard all of the Chinese I know. What a pleasure it is for me to come, and truly a privilege to come. You have been in my prayers for years. Even though you may not know me, I know who you are, and I have been praying for you almost every week. Because we are one body, we are one church, we have one spirit, we have one God.So you have been in my prayers for years, and what a joy it is for me to come here today. For those of you who don't know me, I've had 2 careers so far. So far. My first career is in pharmaceutical sales.I was in pharmaceutical sales for almost 25 years in sales and marketing. And then 9/11 happened. 9/11 impacted my life. We're celebrating 15 years when this tragedy has happened in New York, in Washington, D.C., and also in Pennsylvania.Up until 9/11, I was a very successful business executive, and I thought my life was going to stay that way. However, when 9/11 happened, I was with Marriott, actually. Most of you know that when 9/11 happened, the whole airline industry shut down, and so did the hospitality industry, and at that time, I was actually withMarriott in their senior living facilities. And 9/11 happened in September, and in December, they decided to cut 20% of their people. And at that time, I was in their headquarters. And so I was one of the 20% that was cut. My wife and I have always thought that we would serve God later when we retire.But 9/11 reminded me that we're not in control. Almost 3,000 people left their home expecting to come back that evening for dinner, but they didn't. It's a lesson that taught us that God is control. We are not. And so right after that, in December, they decided to cut my position out. And because it was December, I thought, what am I going to do? And the easiest thing to do in December is wait until after the holidays. Everything is wait until after the holidays. And so we thought, well, I prepare my resume and everything. I'm going to send it out in January. The holidays happen, and then the first week in January, we had missionaries coming to our church to talk about becoming missionaries. And I was under the false impression that you have to be a pastor in order to go out as a missionary. But these two missionaries, one was a photographer and one was a teacher, says God can use anybody. So at that moment, my wife and I decided that we will serve as missionaries. So I did not apply. My resume is still stacked there. I didn't apply. And we applied to International Mission Board, and we went to Thailand. My wife wanted to go somewhere that's warm and speak French, because she speaks English and French. I wanted to go somewhere that's cold, speak Chinese, okay? Because I thought maybe my Chinese will help me. So we went to Bangkok. Bangkok is the hottest place I know, okay? So she got half of her wish, okay? And in Bangkok, almost 30% of the Thai people speaks Chinese, but they speak Dachio, okay? So they don't speak Mandarin. So I didn't get any part of that what I wanted, okay? And so, Chao Zhou Hua. We served in Thailand for 2 years as missionaries, and that began my second career in ministry. And when we came back from Thailand, after we planted a church in Thailand, our pastor, First Baptist Church, is a good friend, and he asked me to start a new Chinese church. So my wife and I planted the Chinese Gospel Church at Park Street. And so from there, I served as the pastor of the Chinese church for 7 years until I retired back in 2011. And so that's the end of my second career. Now I'm on my third career. And my third career now is to help expand God's kingdom in reaching out to people. And I'm doing that with Fellowship of Christian Athletes, and also with City Church, where I'm the leader for Stephen Ministry. Stephen Ministry is to equip lay people to support the pastors in their pastoral care. So that's what I'm currently doing. And on occasion, I have the privilege of being invited to speak, and so that's why I'm here. My question to you is, when people ask you who you are, how do you answer that question? Most of us answer by telling people who we are, what is our name. Most people can look at us and say, ah, you might be Chinese. Some people say Korean, some people say, because as much as they see us all look alike, we see them all look alike, okay? And you can use that against them too, by the way. But whatever our identity is, it comes with a price. We were born in China. We were born into our family. And if your family is fortunate enough to have a good reputation, well, you live that reputation. If you're from a country that currently does not have a good reputation, if you're from Syria, or if you're from Iraq, or Afghanistan, your reputation right now is suspect. But that changes with time. But the costliest identity that we have is in Christ, as Christians. that identity comes at a tremendous cost to God. To God. But our identity in Christ, it's not always so positive. There was a Barna report back in 1996, so it was about 20 years ago. Okay. At that time, they found that 85% of non-Christians, 85% of non-Christians were favorable toward Christianity and their role in the society. That's 20 years ago. Is that still the same? No, that's correct. That has changed, okay? More recently, 5 years ago, Barna found that 2 out of 5 young outsiders, that's people who are non-Christians, outsiders, 2 out of 5, the 38%, okay, claim to have a bad impression of present-day Christianity. Okay, 1/3 of the young outsiders said that Christianity represents a negative image in which they would not want to be associated. That's quite a change from 85% positive to so much negative. 17% says that they have a very bad perception of Christian faith. Why? Why is that? Did Christ change? I don't think so. Jesus did not change. Did the Christian change? Yes. Christians and the media and the teachings have changed. Okay? How many of you are affiliated or related, work with, or teach or study at UVA? Okay? Many of you. UVA is a wonderful institution. Is it a conservative institution or a liberal institution? Liberal. Liberal. Okay? It's very liberal. Okay? And here are some of the things that's happening. Okay? Professors teach about relativism. They teach about the Big Bang Theory, evolution, that there is no absolute authority. So all of these things are contrary to Christianity. Okay? They also teach that coexistence with others is a good thing. That's to be politically correct. We don't want to hurt anybody. Okay? They also teach that all religions are good. Right? All religions are good. They teach good things. They see the practice of Christians, okay, including Christians' view about homosexuality. Okay? We believe that Scripture tells us that homosexuality is a sin. That's what the Christians believe. Okay? Premarital sex is a sin. Seems like Christianity teaches a lot of sins and rules. And what my daughter says is that Christians are very inflexible, they're judgmental, they're intolerant. Those are my daughter's words. And she's one of those younger people. Okay? To add to that, if you look at traditional churches right here in Charlottesville, okay, traditional churches of Baptists, Presbyterians, Methodists, Catholics, Lutherans, they're all losing people. They're all losing people. First Baptist Church, where I used to worship, used to have 1,000 people every Sunday. Now they're down to 400. Okay? All of the traditional churches are losing people. Some of the non-traditional churches, such as Portico, City Church, The Point, they're growing. So that gives me a lot of hope that young people are not, they might not be for the traditional churches, but they are still very spiritual. They just don't like the same traditions that their parents have seen and value. If things are so bad, I paint a pretty bad picture so far. If things are so bad, then why did David Bediah and Steele Johnson, who are they? David Bediah and Steele Johnson. Anybody know who they are? They're Olympic divers. They are the synchronized divers from the 10 meter platform. They were the one that won the silver medal. That's the highest medal that's ever won by the Americans, okay, in the Olympics. The Chinese won the gold medal, of course, okay. But in their interview, when they were being interviewed, okay, they claim, and this interview was seen by millions of people, they claim that their identity is in Christ. Their identity is in Christ. So what does that mean? What does that mean to us? We're seeing all these things going on, and they, in the media, okay, interview with the world, they said that their true identity is in Christ. So what I want to do is explore what that true identity is. What is our true identity in Christ? Okay. I'm going to touch upon three different areas. The first area is that, and we read a scripture that supports this, that through God's sacrifice of His Son, we receive forgiveness of our sins. We have been declared righteous and holy in Christ. In Christ. And that was 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21. And I'm going to go into more details. The second part that I want to talk about is through God's power, and because we have been declared righteous and justified, we are adopted as God's children. The third point I want to get to is that as God's children, we receive all of the benefits God offers to His Son, Jesus Christ, and His children, us. We are blessed with every spiritual blessing in Christ. So those are the three main points that I'm going to get to, and I'm going to jump through a few scripture to do that. I mentioned that this identity comes at a high price. Okay? Our identity in Christ means that we acknowledge we are sinners and that we accept Jesus as our Lord and Savior. We become followers of Christ. We become Christians. This free gift to us is very costly to God. He sent His only Son to die on earth so that we may have new life. And through Jesus, we have our new identity. So when we're asked who we are, one of the first things that we should say is we are Christians. We are Christians. We are followers of Christ. Because that identity has cost God His Son. But I mentioned already that sometimes that carries a negative connotation. And I am very sorry to tell you that in this town of Charlottesville, Chinese Christians don't have a very good reputation either. I have met people that I say, you know, where are you from? And they said, from China. I say, how long have you been here in Charlottesville? Oh, 7 years. Oh, really? Have you been to a Chinese church? Yes. And I don't want to go back. And I said, why? I don't let people just say something. I usually like to probe and ask more questions. And they said, well, the Chinese Christians can't get along. If they can't get along, why should we want to be Christians? What a terrible reputation to have. Whatever part that I played in that, I have to answer to God. I have to answer to God. And I hope that I can help rectify that. I hope that some of the things that you're doing that I have heard about, okay, and I applaud you for that, being united in one body, it's a worthwhile goal. Keep up the good work. We have been justified. Romans 3:24 says that for all have sinned, all fall short of God's glorious standard, yet now God, in His gracious kindness, declares us not guilty. He has done this through Christ Jesus, who has freed us by taking away our sins. Those of you who drive, one of my worst feelings in the world is whenever I see a police car, when I drive by them, they turn on the light. That's a terrible feeling, isn't it? And then when they come around and they come right behind you and you're shaking your head, I didn't do it. And then when they pass you, you go, oh, wonderful, keep going. Because we feel guilty about a lot of things. Driving is one of them. Okay, I'm a little bit crazy when I get behind the wheels. I'm, you know, this mild mannered pastor doesn't exist when I'm behind a wheel. Okay, when I'm behind the wheel, it's like, come on, get out of my way. You know, I'm very impatient behind the car. But that feeling's even worse when you're standing in front of a judge. When he gives you a ticket and you have to go in front of a judge, oh, it's a terrible feeling. But you know, that feeling can also change when the judge says, leave, you're dismissed, we're done. For whatever reason, you know, the policeman didn't show up, okay? Yay! But in God's eyes, we have been declared not guilty. Our sins are forgiven. There's no condemnation awaits us. Paul writes in Romans chapter 8, verse 1, so now there is no condemnation for those who belong to Christ Jesus. 8:2, Romans 8:2 says, we are set free from the law of sin and death. The price of our sin is death. And yet we are free because of what Christ Jesus has done for us. We are sanctified and made acceptable in Christ Jesus. Okay? This is in 1 Corinthians chapter 1. We are writing to the Church of God in Corinth. You who have been called by God to be His holy people, He made you holy by means of Christ Jesus, just as He did all Christians everywhere. Whoever calls upon the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and theirs. We have been sanctified and made acceptable not because of anything we did. Okay? Just because the policeman didn't show, I didn't do that. I was guilty. I had a ticket in my hand. And yet, I was dismissed. Same thing here. We didn't do anything to be justified. Christ died for us. And all we have to do is accept Him as our Lord and Savior. We are righteous and holy in Christ. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 30. God alone made it possible for you to be in Christ Jesus. For our benefit, God made Christ to be wisdom itself. He is the one who made us acceptable to God. He made us pure and holy, and He gave Himself to purchase our freedom. Has anybody here ever drowned or, you know, got in trouble in the water? I have. I was in Taiwan and I almost drowned in Taiwan in the river. When you don't know how to swim and you're in water deeper than you, can you save yourself? No. Fortunately, when I fell in the river, this is outside of Taipei, there was somebody swimming across the river. And my good friend, I had two friends, one not so good. The one that's not so good took off. The one that is good, he stayed there and jumped and keep on screaming at people. And so this swimmer from the other side swim across and reach down and pick me up out of the water. So when you're drowning, you cannot save yourself. As human beings, we are all sinful. We cannot save ourselves. We need somebody or someone to save us. And Jesus Christ does that for us. As Chinese, many of us think, well, I'm not so bad. I haven't killed anyone. I may have told a couple of small lies. And the things that I stole weren't that expensive. You know, there was a candy here, a little toy here. It wasn't that bad. But they're all sins. And God hates sin. Whatever sin there is, God cannot stand sin. And with sin, we cannot get in front of God. So He devised a plan to save us. And through His Son, Jesus Christ, God made Christ, who never sinned, to be the offering of our sin so that we could be made right with God through Christ. Our sins are taken away and they are forgiven and forgotten. That's one of the hardest things for me to understand. When someone does something bad to me, I'll go back to my driving. If you cut me off, I'm driving on 29 and you cut me off, okay? It's hard for me to forgive you. But even if I find the strength to forgive you, I will not forget. But that's not God, fortunately. Our God not only forgives us of our sins, but wipes the clean. Wipe the clean. That's why we're able to be in front of Him. And what I'm talking about is my sinful nature. Even though I've been a Christian now for 30-some years, that sinful nature, I'm trying to get rid of it, but it's hard. Even the Apostle Paul says, I know what is the right thing to do, but sometimes I just don't do it. We are set free from our sinful nature in Colossians chapter 2, verse 11. When you come to Christ, you were circumcised, not by physical procedure, but it was a spiritual procedure by cutting away our sinful life, sinful nature. And it is through His power, God's power, that we've been declared righteous and justified. Therefore, we become new creations. We become citizens in His kingdom. We become God's children. We are adopted as God's children. I think Americans do a very good job of adoptions, because I have many friends who have been adopted. And they see their parents and they see their children as their own. Back in Jesus' times, when a Roman, adopt you, you have the full right of Roman citizenship. Even if you're a slave and the Romans adopt you, that changes your status. So we are now, through Christ Jesus, become God's children. God's children. That means we have all of the rights, all of the promises of God. He made all those promises to His Son, and He's carrying them through. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17 says, what this means is that those who become Christians become new persons. We're new creations. They are not the same anymore, for the old life is gone and new life has begun. In Ephesians chapter 1, verse 5 and 6, His unchanging plan has always been to adopt us into His family. We are in God's family by bringing us to Himself through Christ Jesus. This gave Him great pleasure. So we praise God for the wonderful kindness that He has poured out on us, because now we belong to His dearly loved Son. And Ephesians chapter 1, verse 13 tells us that now we are marked as belonging to God by the Holy Spirit. And now you also have heard the truth, the good news that God saves you. And when you believe in Christ, He identifies you as His own by giving you the Holy Spirit, whom He promised long ago. It's hard to believe, but we are work of art, God's work of art. Each one of us uniquely different. Uniquely different. Because we belong to Him, we have the ability to come close to Him. Okay? Ephesians chapter 2, verse 13 says, but now you belong to Christ Jesus, though you once were far away, because of your sins, you were far away from God. Now you have been brought near to Him because of the blood of Christ. Because of the blood of Christ. In the Old Testament, we know that when you try to atone for sin, you sacrifice an animal, mostly lamb. Okay, you give your prized animal, to be sacrificed as an atonement for sin. Well, Jesus has been sacrificed for us. And that's why He is called the Lamb of God. God served Him to be sacrificed as an atonement for our sins. And because of that, Ephesians chapter 3, verse 12 says, because of Christ and our faith in Him, we can now come fearlessly into God's presence and assure of His glad welcome. Each one of us have been into homes and places where we're welcomed. And we've also been to places where we're not welcomed. And it does not feel good when you are not welcome. Sometimes we're not welcome because of our race. Sometimes we're not welcome because of our past, something we've done in our past. And that's the way we were with God. Because of our sins, we cannot approach God. But because of our acceptance of Jesus Christ and His saving blood, now we are welcome into God's presence. Because we are considered His children, we now receive all of the benefits of being God's children. We have been made alive at the resurrection. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 22 says, "And if Christ has not been raised, then your faith is useless, and you are still under the condemnation of your sins." So that's when Paul was trying to tell us that this whole thing is a lie. His resurrection did not occur. But because resurrection occurred, Jesus died. 3 days later, He was resurrected by God. That's a fulfillment of a promise. And that's where we rest our faith in. And that's how come our God, our Savior, our Lord, is alive. We are one in Christ with all other believers. Paul wrote this in a letter to the Galatians, but it reminds us of here. We are one body, one spirit, one God, united in our belief through Christ Jesus. I applaud you in the efforts that you've made to join with other church. I will continue to pray for you and for the Holy Spirit to guide you and lead you in that endeavor. Because we are God's children, we are blessed with every spiritual blessing in Christ. Paul writes, "How we praise God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly realms because we belong to Christ." Who has blessed us in the heavenly realm with every spiritual blessing means that Christ has given us all of the benefits of knowing God, being chosen for salvation, being adopted as His children, the forgiveness, the insight, the gift of the Spirit, the power to do God's will, the hope of living forever with Christ. These are the heavenly realms. These are the spiritual blessings. And the heavenly realm means that these blessings are eternal, not just temporal. We have been declared holy, blameless, and covered in God's love in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 4. And we will be brought under Christ's headship. And this is His plan. At the right time, He will bring everything together under the authority of Christ. Everything in heaven and on earth. Furthermore, because of Christ, we have received an inheritance from Christ, from God. For He chose us from the beginning, and all things happen just as He decided long ago. And we will, and we have been raised up to sit with Christ in glory. We will share the glory of Christ here, and we will be sharing the glory with him. I've gone through quite a number of verses, and these verses suggest that our identity in Christ comes at a high price. But we have to live it. We have to live this new created life. God could give us his grace, and yet we can continue to live like we don't know who he is. And we can live like he's some being way out there that we don't know. Or we can live as we know him, the living God who came and died for us. And that we could proudly claim our identity in Christ and live that way. Becoming a Christian is easy because God has done all the work. But living as a Christian in this world that I talked about, in your world at UVA, is not easy. Trust the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit, to help you. Be proud of that citizenship and that identity, just like Bodias and Johnson did in their interview. And it is my prayer that you will unite with other Chinese Christians and truly live as one body. I'd like to pray for you. Gracious Heavenly Father, we truly marvel at your goodness, your majesty, your awesomeness. We look at the beauty of your creation. We look up at the stars and know that you created this universe. And yet, you want a relationship with us. You want that relationship so badly, you sacrifice your own son, Jesus, so that we may have new life. Thank you, O Lord. Thank you for your grace. Thank you for your forgiveness. Thank you for loving us that much. Father, you've paid a high price for our identity in your Son, Jesus Christ. Let us live to serve others, to follow your commandments, to serve you. Let us live as you've taught us, to be one body, to have Christ as the head, to be united as one church. Father, forgive us that as long as we are here on earth, that it's very hard for us to discard our sinful nature, even though you have bought our new life. But as long as we're here, we're trapped and we're enticed by the things of this world. Lord, I lift up CCCC as a church believing in you, wanting to follow you, guided by your Spirit. I pray for them. I pray for the churches to be united, so that people, especially new non-believers who come to this town because of the university, could say, I don't know what those Chinese Christians have, but I want that. We need your leadership. We need your guidance, your wisdom, your strength, so that the bad reputation will be behind us, and then we will build a new united reputation that will bring others to your kingdom. I thank you for the privilege of sharing your word here today. I thank you for this opportunity. And I seek your blessings upon this church and Chinese Gospel Church and all of your churches. Thank you most of all for your Son, Jesus Christ. And it is in his name I make this prayer. Amen.